Epiphany. The word epiphany comes from the Greek meaning revelation or illumination. Today, you're probably familiar with lowercase epiphanies with a small e. They can refer to those aha moments of life, times of inspiration. But epiphany with a capital E refers not to generic revelation, but to the specific revelation of Jesus to humanity. The appearance of God in the flesh, in the world, being recognized for what it was. When the Magi visit, there is a moment of heavenly brilliance when human beings, just like us, recognize God. As Barbara Brown Taylor says so eloquently, epiphany reminds us that we live in a world that is leaking light, and that this long stretch of predictability we call our daily life is really a wondrous game of hide and seek with the divine. And there can be no doubt that the Magi were seekers. And their Torah story is told in Matthew, and as we noted at Christmas, the birth stories in Matthew and Luke are very different. Luke is all about his emphasis on the great reversal. God working with the lost and the last and the least, they shall be first, and the first, they shall be last. For Matthew, politics is central to the birth story. The spotlight swings onto the international scene and portrays Jesus as a rival king who threatens the powers that be. Because for Matthew, Jesus is the new Moses perfecting the law. And Herod plays the role of Pharaoh. Herod was famous in the ancient world. He oversaw massive building projects. He was obscenely obsessed with power and hyper-paranoid. When trying to protect himself, he was vicious. And at risk of speculating about his mental health, Herod comes across at best as deeply insecure. The Magi, they also moved in the political realm. They were not kings, but directly served their king. They claimed supernatural knowledge through astrology, most likely followers of Zoroastrianism. I tend to use the word Magi because the more familiar terms downplay their otherness and their specific role, which is based neither on gender or monarchy. Many different ancient peoples believed that a star appeared in the night sky at one's birth. So the brighter the star, the more significant the birth. And the Magi saw such a bright star that they recognized a new king had been born. And this is an event so significant, they set off on a journey, not really knowing where they were going, but following the star. So their arrival in Jerusalem would have signaled great political upheaval and a calling into question of the rule of an insecure leader. What's this? A star? A rising star? A new king? We're told that Herod was greatly troubled and all Jerusalem with it. He acts quickly. He lures the travelers into a promise of information about the child he wants to give homage to, he lies. Really, he just wants to get rid of the competition. For all that we emphasize the cozy nativity scene at Christmas, the cutthroat politics that led to Jesus' death were just as present at his birth. So how ironic is it that Herod himself is the one who, through his advisors, directs the Magi in the direction of Bethlehem. Herod serves as an instrument for their guidance, and it just goes to show that we can never know where valuable insight may come from. The Magi travel to Bethlehem and give true, authentic homage to Jesus, as well as their gifts, gifts worthy of a king. This is the pivot point, the turning point for the story of the Magi, for they now return home. But they don't go near Herod. They're warned by God in a dream to take a different road. There's always another way to go. Yesterday, many of us were gathered here in the Abbey for the wonderful concert with our own Francis McCafferty and Matthew Beechin entitled The Road to Bethlehem. It chronicled the journey of many to the manger, including the Magi. Now, with the pivot point of entering the season of Epiphany, we, like the Magi, are on the road from Bethlehem. The journey onward. We cannot stay at the crib side. So what road will we take? Two paths. One of darkness and death, one of light and life. The kingdom of Herod and the kingdom of God. Herod, just like Pharaoh, is a tyrant, so hungry for power that he later orders the murder of all infants in Bethlehem in the hope of killing Jesus. Fear and thirst for power, a volatile mix. And we cannot even imagine how many innocent lives and beautiful dreams have been lost over the centuries through that concoction. Contrast this to the light of God moving through the sky, stopping over Mary and Joseph, shining a light upon baby Jesus as if to say, over here, this is the way. Let him be your new king. Follow him and see God's desire for this world. Thinking like Herod is still alive in the world. However much on a smaller scale, lie, cheat, anything to get what you want at any cost. Doesn't the world worship self-interest, getting ahead of the game? Where is our hope of another road, another way home, other than the way of this world? Remember our first reading. It is dark outside, but the light shines into the darkness. If we bother to look at the light, at the child in a manger, we can carry God's glow, Christ's light, with us. Herod, infamous for his brutality and paranoia. Jesus teaches downward mobility, taking on voluntarily the role of a servant, the non-violent use of power. What strange values to this world. Never forget their strangeness. And the trouble with stars that beckon us to follow them is that we can never know at the outset where the journey might lead. The invitation may come in an unexpected encounter, an unexpected turn in a conversation, an invitation, a new friendship, new insight from reading scripture, new insight through prayer, or even a crisis or a loss can call us into a new way of being. The Magi followed the star, not knowing where it would lead. In large ways and small, we can say yes to following God's light. It requires courage. It requires trust. And what is there to guide us? I remember the first time I drove over the new Queen's Ferry Bridge, and my sat-nav or GPS didn't have a clue where I was. Looking at the little screen on my windscreen, it looked like I was in water. My arrival time lengthened considerably. However, the sat-nav eventually caught up with this new, unfamiliar route. And so it is with God's positioning system. We may not know quite where we are at times, but God goes ahead like the star shining in the east. And Jesus in the Gospels, in effect, says, I am your path, your destination. I am in your stars and in your scriptures, in the people that surround you, in your dreams. I will show you where to go if you but trust me. And let's never forget that the Magi also had each other. The fellowship of the star, so to speak. We come together as a community of faith to learn and struggle and pray together with what it means to be human, what it means to follow the way. Jesus was quite clear that his followers were not to be alone. And in this life and on this path, this narrower road, we need each other. We need not know everything to follow Christ. We need only to trust the invitation and the one extending it. And as we travel the narrow road together, what do we bring with us? Our gifts. The wise men may have given their gold and frankincense and myrrh, but they received much more in return. They experienced the King of Kings, and their lives would never be the same. And their gift giving is a summons to us to make of our lives a gift, a witness. A witness of hope in a broken world. Because just like the world into which Jesus was born, ours is still a world of political and economic oppression, of homelessness and forced immigration, of violence and fear-mongering. People of faith may walk in the light, but they do not live in a bubble. To make a gift of our lives in a world such as this may make no sense in this world's narrative. But it is to be true to the upside-down nature of God's story. Years ago, I heard an Epiphany folk tale. The story of a gift-giving woman, she's called La Befana in Italy, or Babushka in Russia. And this tale is about an old woman who is visited by the Magi as they follow the star to the Christ child. The woman offers them hospitality on their journey. And when they leave her house, they invite her to go with them to see the child they are seeking. But she cannot go. She has too much work to do. But after they have gone, she reconsiders and sets out on her own journey to find this wondrous child. And it is said that she is seeking still. And on the 12th night of Christmas, she gives a gift to every child she sees in case one of them is the Christ child. Will we be seekers still? Seeing the Christ child in others, making every day an epiphany in service of the epiphany of Jesus Christ. We answer that question in how we walk through the year ahead. And may God guide us how best we can be a gift to the world in the coming year. Amen.